The question today we're going to ask ourselves is, are you ready? You say, well, yeah, I'm ready. I've asked people before, are you ready? And they said, I'm ready to do anything. Well, I don't want you just to be ready to do anything except to do what the Lord wants you to do. The passage that we read is one that encourages us to be people that are ready. You know, we need to recognize, and this is the first point. I want to get to it. I got to get this thing out to punch the button. We've got a ready God. Now, you just think about this. You just think about how ready God is to help us. Now, I want you to look at a passage, if you would. Nehemiah 9 and verse 17 says that God is ready to save us or to forgive us of our sins. He's ready to do that. Now, just mark that down. There's a lot of New Testament passages, but what I wanted to do was to show you some Old Testament passages and help you to understand that God has always been ready. He is always ready to forgive us. He's always ready to save us. Psalms 86 and verse 5, He is one that wants to save, and He's ready to do that. Could you imagine? You've sinned. Do you know how to do that? You've sinned, and you go to God, and you say, God, forgive me of my sins. And God says, you know, Charles, I'm really busy today. Could you come back tomorrow? I'll put you down, and I'll talk to you tomorrow, and we'll get that straightened out. How would you like to have a God like that? And we say, God, listen, I need you to save me. Well, I've got so many people today that want to be saved, I'll put you on my list. No, God is ready to do that. Now, 1 John 1 and verse 9, listen to what John has to say there. He says we need to be those that if we're willing to confess our sins, He is faithful and just. That means He's ready. He's ready to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's ready to do that. If you have sinned and you want to go to God and say, God, forgive me, He'll forgive you right there. If you go to God and say, God, listen, I want you to save me, He'll save you. He'll do that. We need to know that we've got a God that's ready to help us. In fact, this God is just, it's kind of like God is there and He's just, you know, He's got one foot in the back and He's ready to come out and get us. Not to condemn us. He will have to do that to some people because some people will not listen to His will and will not follow His word. He's going to have to do that. But God is there, kind of like the father of the prodigal son. He's there. He's looking. He's ready to receive us. He's ready to hug us. He's ready to forgive us. He's ready. He's ready. He's ready. We've got a God that's always ready. And we need to recognize that. We don't have to beg Him to forgive us. Some people have the idea that we've got to go to God and just plead with God. God, please forgive me. Please forgive me. Let me tell you, we need to understand that God is going to forgive us. He's going to cleanse us. He's going to make us right. He's ready to do that. He's the kind of God that wants to do that. He's ready to help us in every way. Now, you look at these passages up here and you search them and find out what they have to say. And you see, the problem is not God, it's us. See, God's ready to forgive us. God's ready to save us. He's ready to do all those things. But the person that needs to be persuaded is not God, but it's us. We need to be persuaded. That's part of what preaching is. It's not just to deliver a message, but it's to deliver a message in such a way that it will help people to change their life. And all of preaching is persuading people to come to God. That's what it's for. To help people to see that God is ready, willing, and able to forgive us, to show us those sins that we've committed, that they're wrong. And most of the time we know that already. You don't need a preacher to tell you that. You know your life. You know the sins you've committed. What you need to do is to know that God's ready to forgive you. And then all the preacher's trying to do, or at least all he should try to do, is not to condemn us, but to help us to see the need to be able to go to God and to be able to ask God for forgiveness for that salvation that He will give to us. All those people at Pentecost that heard, that believed, that confessed that Jesus was the Son of God, and then were immersed in their sins, where were they at? What did God do for them? Going down to the end of that book, God added them to the church daily, such as should be saved. He didn't wait and say, you know, we're going to get a bunch for next week. We'll save all of them next week. We'll get those next year, you know. He was ready to do it, and he did it the day, the time. Sometimes we go through and look at people that have obeyed the gospel in the New Testament and how fast they did that. None of them ever slept any. None of them ever ate anything. They didn't really delay. They were ready to do it at that time because they knew there was a God ready to forgive them. If you get nothing else out of this lesson today, understand God is ready to forgive you. He's ready to forgive you. He's able to forgive you. And he will do that. And we don't have to worry about it. Are you worried about sins you've committed in the past? I've seen people over the years that they were worried about a sin that they committed years ago. And they've gone to God. They've talked to preachers about it. I've had people to come to me and talk about the same sin three or four times. And you try to tell them, God forgave you if you repented. And I really think by their heart, they really did repent. They needed to learn to forgive themselves because they didn't realize they had a God already to forgive them. If you knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that God would forgive you of every sin you've ever committed, would it make you happier? Would it make you feel better? So we've got a God that is ready to forgive us. But what we need, now this next point here is important. What we need is we need to help other people to see that God is ready to forgive them. Now, we need to know it, but we also need to help other people. We got to teach the Word of God to other people so that they can see this Word and know what it is. James 1 and verse 21, listen to what it says. And I'm going to read it out of the NIV, but please read it out of the translation that you have. I just like the way it said it. Therefore, get rid of all moral filthiness and evil that is so prevalent. Get rid of that sin. Get it out of your life. Get rid of it. And humbly accept the word that has been planted in your heart. Now, here the writer's talking to people that had already heard the word. He's talking to people that had heard the sermon. They had heard the lessons. They had heard the word of God. And so he's saying, you know what that is. Please be doing it. Please follow that. Follow that word that's there, which can save you. It has the power to save you. Do you realize the strength of the Word of God? When you teach people the Word of God, it's not because of the strength that you have and the power that you have, but it's that Word that is from God. It is God's Word. And when you speak God's Word, you are speaking for God. And so he said, you know, all that, superfluity of naughtiness, all the sin, all the things that are wrong, God will forgive those things. He wants to be able to do that. And we've got to help other people to see that. Not to condemn people. We don't have the right to condemn anybody. We have the right and responsibility to teach other people. That's what our job is. God does the judging. And really, God does the saving, doesn't he? He does that. I don't do it. You don't do it. God does it. That's his power. That's his strength. That's what he's trying to do. And he's ready and he's willing and he's able to do that. What we have to do is to take this word and encourage other people, persuade other people to listen to what the word has to say. And not only for them to listen to it, but for us to listen to it. In such a way that it will change us and it'll change them and we'll become more like God and more like God's people. That's what God wants from us. That's what God has a desire for us. Oh, he teaches us how to worship. He teaches us how to serve him. He teaches us how to glorify his name. He teaches us all those things. And you see, that's what you're doing in helping other people to see the need to do that. That's what you're doing in teaching other people the Word of God. And I'm not just saying where you know you're going to sit down with a Bible and you're just going to teach people. That's a part of it. But a part of it is the daily living that you live, showing by example. We'll talk a little bit more about that later. Being the kind of person that you're going to be willing to do that. Now, look if you would. We need to persuade people. Now, the idea of persuading people is really encouraging them in every way we can to listen to that word and to follow that word. And persuade is that we try to use any kind of argument or anything that we can to try to help those people to see the right way to go and to encourage them to do it. That's what persuasion is. It's encouraging people to do what God says. Now, listen at 1 Peter 3 and verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Set Him apart in your heart. In that intellect part of you, set Him apart. And always be ready to give a defense to everyone who seeks, who asks you a reason for the hope that is found within you. And do it with a meekness, with a fear, with an idea of, I'm not trying to just show those people up. I'm not trying to just make myself right and them wrong. But I'm trying to do this in such a way as I can help them to know that. It said we need to be willing to do that. Now, that's not just for preachers. It's not just for elders, but it's for every one of us. We've got to be willing to do that. We've got to be willing to help people that. We've got to help people. We've got to prepare people. We've got to show people where this is and how to do this. That's what we've got to be willing to do. Help them to see that. Help them to know that and understand that. And so that's part of what we're trying to do. We've got to help people to see that the Lord is coming also. Now, there's a host of passages that we could read in the New Testament. Mark 13, starting with about verse 32, 33, I think it's 32 through 37, the Lord's there talking to some people, and they're talking about when the Lord is going to come, when God is going to come back. And He says, nobody knows that. Only the Father in heaven knows that. And then what He tried to do was to illustrate that for them. What was He trying to do? Was He trying to just condemn these people? Or was He trying to persuade people with the Word of God what they needed to do? God's going to come. He illustrated it. He said, here's a fella that he's going to go into a far country and he puts his servant in charge. And then he goes away in the foreign country. Here's God who came to this earth and created the world. And I'm not saying that He left the world and just dumped us. That's not what He did. But what He did is God was willing to give us everything that we need to be able to follow Him. He has always given leadership. Always given leadership. Always given His word so that man could know what to do. There has not been a time when man did not know what to do to please God. He's always had that. And so here God has done all these things and He's given us this word. He's given other people the word at different times in the past that we might deliver that word to others to persuade people to follow God, to persuade people to do what God's will is. Now that's what we're supposed to do, is to persuade people, to encourage people to do what is right and to follow what is good. That's what God wants us to do. Now, not only that, but we need to be ready for every good work. Now we talked about this in Bible class this morning. You can know all of God's word. Satan doesn't care how much you know. What he does care is how much you're following. How much are you doing it? We've got to be ready for that. Titus, if you read the first chapter in Titus, short little book, he's got about, I think, 9 things there that he talks about that are good works that people need to be involved in. Now you say, well, he's talking about elders. That's forget that part. What he's talking about is how to be good people. There's not a quality there that all of us should not have. We should have that quality. And he's trying to help us to see that. He's trying to help us to understand what that is. And we've got to be ready for every good work. That means that I need to be looking for good things to do. I need to be looking for good things that I can involve myself in. And I need to do that. You know, the devil, what he wants to do is to, are you busy? Just ask that question. Are you real busy? All of us are busy. We got so many things to do. Have you wondered why we're so busy? Maybe it's because God is not in our life as much as He needs to be. Maybe it might help us to slow down a little bit to say, okay, I need to be looking for good works. I need to cut out this, and I need to add this. I need to take away this, and I need to put this in my life. I need to be a part of it. You know, I mean, if we had all the members here today, our building would be full. Why aren't every pew, why isn't every pew full? Well, busy. Got a birthday party here. Got this thing to go to. Got that thing to go to. Or, you know, this is the only day that I have to rest. The only day that I have to sit down and take it easy just a little bit. And you know, in the Old Testament, it talked about the Sabbath, and it's supposed to be a day of rest, and so I'm going to switch it over and take the Lord's Day, the first day of the week, and that's going to be a day of rest. What we need to do is to recognize we need to be following God. We need to be looking for things to do. And I'm going to mention just one of those things. We need to be worshiping God more. We need to be really putting ourselves into that. You say, well, you know, I've had people say, I can read my Bible at home. I can study at home. And I can find out more about God's will at home. I can find out what God wants me to do sitting in my own house. Yes, you can. You can find out a lot there. But what you need is your brethren around you. One of the great things about worship is the fellowship we have one with another. Isn't that right? Talking about that. Song leader late. Why was he late? He's talking to people. And people are talking to him. We need this. We've got to have this. We've got to have these works. We need these works. We need to be involved in different things. Let me tell you something. The more you're involved in God's work, the greater you're going to love God. Now, the people that don't love God are not going to be involved in God's work. You want to gauge your love? Sometimes we can gauge our love by what we're involved in at church. Do you teach a class? Do you help teach a class? Do you participate in the activities that are there? I think is today the first day we're starting our visitation thing again and all that, Mark? February the 5th. I see. I had that wrong. It's February the 5th. Y'all get ready for it. And look at it as though this is not something I've got to do. It's something I get to do. Isn't that right? Well, I got two amens and one of them was weak, I'm telling you. Okay? Get into this, people. Get excited about this. We're serving God. And if that don't excite you, you may be dead spiritually. So let's be involved in that. You don't have to wait till February to start that either. You can do it now. This thing that we've got going here that is for the church is to help us to kind of organize that. That doesn't mean that everybody that's doing stuff is involved in that. But we need to be involved in it. We need to be involved in that so that we can encourage each other more. You go back here and there's two people back here. And that's the two people that Mark got to run it. You know what? It's discouraging. My Bible teaches me that I need to encourage my brethren. In fact, it teaches me that I should not do anything to discourage my brethren. So I need to be participating in that. Preacher, elder, deacon, every member, we need to be a part of that. You say, well, I got things to do and I'm so tired. It's always going to be that way, isn't it? It's a matter of choices. What choice do you want to make? What choice is yours? You can choose. Listen, we've got a God that is ready to help us. We've got a God that's ready to forgive us. We've got a God that's ready to give us His Word. We've got a God that is ready to save us. He's ready. We don't have to wait on Him. We don't have to beg God to do that. We don't have to do that. He's ready. Who do we have to beg? Who do we have to plead with to try to do the will of God, to try to follow the will of God? Us. And that's what I'm doing today. I'm trying to persuade you to love God more, to follow God more, to do more for God, to be a part of God, to get your life invested in God. That's what we've got to do. We talk about winning the world. Brethren, that's a great idea. But let's start here. Let's start here. Let's do here. You know what? If you want a crowd of people to show up, start a fire. Let a house burn. I don't know. We got firemen in here somewhere. But at a fire or a car wreck, one of the things that they have to deal with the most is onlookers. People that are coming in. You know, I've seen them in Atlanta, you know, where you got a 5-lane highway on either side. You have a wreck over here. Everybody in the other side is slowing down because they want to stop and see somebody's head laying in the road. They want to see a bloody body. So they'll stop and look. You get a fire, people are going to be gathering around. In fact, the policemen have to come and help the people to stay away from it. Why? Because we want to see those things. We want to be a part of that. We want to know what's going on. Let me tell you something. Why in the world don't we do that way with the church? Why don't we do that way with the work of the Lord? Why don't we do that and say, listen, there's something going on. I need to be a part of it. We might go to old Mark and say, Mark, listen, I know I'm supposed to meet the first month, but can I meet the second month? Would you let somebody do that, Mark? It depends. Okay. Oh, okay. We need to do that. So we're talking about getting into this thing. And you know, this is the first of the year. Let's just get into it. Let's just get ourselves totally into it. We've got a God that's ready. What we've got to do is to prepare ourselves to be ready. And God is there for us. And He'll help us. Now today, we're going to sing an invitation song. It is a time for us to look at ourselves. Not anybody else, not at your neighbor, not at somebody that's not here, not at somebody that hadn't ever been here, but it's time to look at ourselves. Too many times we're looking around at everybody else, trying to judge everybody else. Quit doing that. Look at yourself. If you get yourself straightened out, I'm telling you, it'll attract other people. If we get the church interested in itself and build the fire here, people will come to see. They'll come to find out what's going on. But you know, most people don't visit graveyards until they have to. We don't want people doing the church that way. We encourage you today, if you're not saved, God has the power to save you.